Good morning, Cross Point family and friends watching online near and far. It is my pleasure to be able to share with you today. And in thinking about you and just people in general, I was thinking, I always think the best of people. And maybe you didn't know that about me, but I always think the best of people. If someone passes me by and doesn't say hi, I assume they didn't see me. Even if they look right into my eyes, I think, well, maybe they didn't notice, or maybe they're thinking of something else, or just something going on in their lives. If someone is mean to me in traffic, I'm like, oh, they must be having a bad day. If someone really wanted to offend me, like really hurt me, they would have to try really hard. Like they would have to be like, I'm really meaning to be mean to you, Renee. Like I want to hurt your feelings right now. And I would be like, oh. It's like they would have to try their hardest to offend me because for some reason, the way I'm just made, the way I've always been, is this, I just let it go. I just assume the best in people. I just assume they didn't mean to hurt me and I never ever take it personally. Well, that's just a fun fact about me, if you were wondering. Now, I always thought this was normal. Evidently, it's not that common. But even when there's disagreements in my home, you have to know this. Most of the time, after a few minutes, I've already forgotten about it. Like, I've already moved on. And it's kind of funny, this fun fact about me is kind of funny. Played out in close relationships because it's not super effective. You might think, wow, that's such a great thing. Well, in close relationships, it struggles a little bit because it's not an effective means for resolving conflict. Some people just need to talk it out. Well, it's hard to talk it out when one of the people have already forgotten about it. So that is a problem. So I've learned that I can't just forget about it. I've learned that I need to have the talk and I need to say the I'm sorries, that is important to some people. I've been married 20 years this coming August and I have finally learned this. And I'm also growing in remembering to actually make time and to bring up the conversation if it hasn't been brought up to me and to go back right away and do that. But I have to focus on making that happen, or like I said, I've already forgotten about it, but people need closure and people need conversations. So there you go. There you have it. The ministry of Jesus was to bring us back to the Father. The Bible talks about the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing back relationships when there have been disagreements or have been estrangement, to come together in reconciliation. This is the mending of what has been torn apart. It is an allowing for a transaction that has begun but has not yet been completed to continue and to once again be restored and healed. Jesus, the Bible says, came to destroy the works of the devil and to bring us back to the Father. Now, the problem with this is that the enemy would like nothing more in your life than to estrange you from the Father, than to separate you from your family, than to cause disagreements within your church or your community, from authorities in your life. But we need connection. We need connection. Because connection is life-giving. And connection and forgiveness are inseparable. You cannot be connected fully without restraint if you do not carry a heart of forgiveness in your life. 1 John chapter 3, let's go there. Starting at verse 18 to 22, it says, little children, let us not love merely in theory with word or tongue, just giving lip service to compassion, but in action and in truth, which is practice and which is sincerity. Because practical acts of love are more than words. By this we will know that we are of the truth, and we will assure our heart and quiet our conscience before him whenever our heart convicts us of guilt. For God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things because nothing's hidden from him. Beloved, if our conscience does not accuse us of guilt, we have confidence that we can go before God and we can receive what we have asked of him. As we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight and are seeking to follow his plan for us. There has been times in my life that I have walked down very wrong roads. But each time the Father has been so gracious to welcome me back as Jesus removes the barriers from me to him. He lavishes his grace and his mercy and his love on my life. I make mistakes and I will do things wrong, but he continually assures me and removes these barriers from my life. During this time, though, I will carry shame and I will carry guilt around. Even the greatest people will come into my life and they will encourage me and they will speak life into me, but there is a weight that I will feel of the mistakes that I have made. But the Bible says, as we stand before God, we can have a clear heart and mind as we love people well, not just in our talk, but in our walk, that we can know that no matter what we've done, that we are the real deal. We aren't making ourselves to pretend to be something or act a certain way just to showcase that maybe we would look good. But it's true love springing out of true love that proves you and I are genuine, that proves you and I are real, that proves that God is in you and you are in him. This is my peace when I have failed. This is my hope when I don't know how I'm doing. Am I good? Am I bad? Am I making too many mistakes? Am I doing right? Am I contributing to wrong? See, we may not know or understand how to engage with what is happening in our world right now. We won't know. Are we doing good or are we doing bad? How are we doing? Sometimes we just feel like we're not enough and we're not doing very well. But we can take a minute, the scripture says, and we can look at the fruit. And we can assure our hearts and our minds in him that we're doing okay, that we are doing the best we can with the resources we have, with the time we've been given. The scripture says to practice our love with actions, with sincerity, to show people we truly are for them, we are with them, we are behind them. This is in every way, every day. This is not just a Starbucks gift card, although that is great. This is not just a distance hug, although that matters. But this is forgiveness. This is forgiving. It's releasing. It's loving without restraint. No matter what. No matter what. But what about, yes. Well, there's this, definitely this. Well, what about that? And that as well. This is all of it, all the time. See, the times I've hurt people and the times I've hurt God, the times I've done the most wrong has brought me even further into a heart of forgiveness. And you're saying, well, how can that be? It's because I've been forgiven much. When I realize how much grace that has been put on my life, how much I've been giving, where I deserve to be, versus where I stand, where I literally stand today, how can I not forgive? When I realize how many people have let me off the hook, I am humbled in that. I am drawn to be more like Jesus. How could I not forgive you? How could I not forgive people and society and government and my boss and my neighbor and whoever has wronged me? How could I not? Because it doesn't matter what they've done. You're like, well, maybe it does matter. It doesn't matter when it comes to forgiveness. Well, maybe you're like, this challenges me today, Renee. This challenges my love. This challenges my forgiveness. So what? No one was more wronged than Jesus, yet no one was less deserving of being hurt than him. Who am I to think that I have a right to hold on to my offense? Do I want to be like Jesus or not? Because I just can't pick the easy parts. I want to turn the water into wine, but the carry the cross thing, I don't know about that. See, we can't pick the easy parts. It's all or nothing. We either be like him or we're not like him. It doesn't work this way. And I'm telling you, I know it. There's never been a harder time to live like Jesus than right now. But you can do it. You can do it. Him and you and him, you can do it. With Jesus, you can do anything. He is the overcomer that is in you, that works through you, and that will advance his mission in the earth through your service to him as you lay down your life daily. And sometimes every minute, we lay down our own offenses. We lay down the hard parts and we say, I know it's hard, but I'm doing it anyway because Jesus did. And with every step as he walked up that mountain carrying his cross, walking to his death, every step he carried every offense, he carried every problem, he carried every hurt, he carried every death, every pain, every wrong action. And he did it for you and he did it for me. So how can we not do the same? As we love in our sincerity and we release people into forgiveness, we know that we are real. We know we are truly following Christ as we should because our walk lines up with our talk. The quickest way to end a relationship is to hold an offense. The fastest way to mend one is to let it go. To be forgiving, it is imperative that we understand how much we've been forgiven. That will draw us to forgive more and to love more and to be like Jesus more. With that revelation, our minds can become free. And our conscience can become clear. But that just doesn't happen. We have a role in it. And that role is derived out of 1 John 3 that we just read. And what is our role? Well, number one is to clear our conscience. Now, we don't actually do that ourselves. Jesus does it. But we walk it out before him. The second is to obey his orders watchfully. Pay attention to what he's saying and do that. Follow the plan. It is a good plan. Don't go off on your own. And number three, practice what is pleasing to him as a habit. Not just here and there when it feels right or it's easy, but part of your daily routine. Practice what is pleasing to him. This will release in us the ability, the Bible says, to receive whatever we ask of him. So what are you asking from him today? Maybe you're asking for healing for the nations. Maybe you're asking for salvation for our cities. Maybe you're asking for wholeness in families. Maybe you're asking for unity and diversity to coincide. Be like Jesus. Let's not allow our minds, followed by our actions, to get in the way of our access and our answers. Because we can self-sabotage, but don't do that. Don't do that. Be like Jesus. Let's recognize our forgiveness. Let's recognize what we have received and know that we are living, walking, breathing grace and mercy beings. Not one bit deserving, but every bit receiving. Then we can forgive. No strings, not accept, not needing anything in return. Just forgiving, just releasing. You said that sounds easy. It's not easy, but it's possible. Hope is alive and well in our nation and in our world today. Did you hear me? Hope is alive and well in our nation and in our world today. Because as long as Jesus lives, hope lives. As long as Jesus lives, hope lives. And if you don't believe that, then you don't serve the God I serve. Because he is hope and he is here. And he is alive and he is well. Conflict, which is everywhere right now, handled correctly, always breeds intimacy. We got this. Jesus got this. Connection with God is how we receive life, and connection with people is how we give life. We need to be life givers. Jesus started this pathway of forgiveness with us. Now we get to pay it forward. It is our blessing. It is a blessing for us to be able to pay forward what he began in our lives. But to connect, we must forgive. It is imperative that we are life givers in this world, in a world that's taking innocence and taking lives and hurting and attacking our hope. We need to be life givers. To be life giving, we need to be ever forgiving. So who are you willing to forgive today? Where does your forgiveness end? And do you have a limit on what you're willing to let go of? Ask yourself those questions today. And it's okay to be honest with yourself and with God. He's got big shoulders and he can handle it. He can also walk you through it. Today, as Jesus' people, loving God and loving others, it is imperative that we create a culture of ones that carry hearts of forgiveness. This is change and this is hope. How? And I end with this. Be grateful. Truly appreciate the people in your life. They are a gift to you. Truly appreciate the goodness the Father has placed you in. Be releasing. Assume the best in people. Hope in the goodness of God. Hope in what he can do in people's lives, in and through you. Maybe assume they didn't mean to hurt you today. Maybe give them a pass. And be extra. You're like, well, be always the one willing to do more, always the one willing to give more, serve more, encourage more, fix the problems you didn't even create. Don't keep score. Don't carry offense. Be the one that's always okay with giving the most, working the hardest, even if you have to do it alone. Make it your life's mission to give continually without expecting anything in return, ever. Be the brightest. Be the most hopeful, life-giving of anyone in your tribe. Fight to lead in being extra, the good kind of extra. And don't judge the ones who don't show up. Just be the one that does. Thank you for taking the time to join us on our live service today and to listen and to engage in worship and to hear what I believe the Father wanted to release to you today. If you would like to respond in any way today, maybe you want to start a relationship with Jesus for the first time, or maybe you just need prayer. There's just a lot happening, and it would be nice to have someone to walk through with it. I encourage you to text the word Jesus to 619-464-3077, and we would love to connect with you today. And I end with this. The next time you forget to say good morning to me, you don't text me back, maybe you drove by, you don't wave and smile as you go. You just need to know, I've already let it go. I've forgotten about it. I've moved on, and I've already forgiven you. Take care, church. We love you.